be able to come down and share from God's Word with you all this morning. It's been a while since I've stood in a pulpit. As you know, Tara and I, when we left First Baptist Church, we left to go and serve in Ecuador with Ponda Vida. But the Lord had other plans, and we tried raising our support for over a year and never quite made it, and hit the point where we had to make a decision. How long and how far do we continue to go and push and try to get the door open, or do we just trust the Lord to lead us into maybe the next phase of where our life might be? So we decided, as your board says out in the front, which is both a Tara and I's favorite verse, trust in the Lord, right, with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, because I didn't understand a thing. But right, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight our paths. So that's kind of where we are right now. We're trusting to see where God brings us, what He has for us. In the meantime, Tara, God opened a door for Tara to work from home, which is a true blessing, with a cable contracting company. She works for Comcast and TrueNet Cable, so she works right from home, and she travels a bit, but we deal with that, and I will be starting there actually September 27th, working right along with her. So God's blessed us with that, where we get to work from home, be with our kids, and wait. But honestly, sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, right, is just wait. But we're trying to be still and listen for His voice to lead us, and in the meantime, be able to do amazing things like be here and share from God's Word with God's family here at Community Bible Chapel. And as we were sitting here singing this morning, and the songs, and Tara and I looked at each other, she's all teary, she can make me teary. The music fits right into what I wanted to talk about this morning, and God is so amazing that way. He has had this planned, and I knew exactly where we were going to be going, and I want to talk about worship. And one of the things I think that hinders us in our worship is a lot of times we have our eyes in the wrong place. We take our eyes off of Jesus. We let the world and all the circumstances around us kind of press us down and crush us, and we lose focus of why we even come here on a Sunday morning, which is to worship God. And when we think of worship, we think of what worship is really is like, right, making God first place in our life, coming before Him, ascribing to Him His worth to us. I love Psalm 96, which I'm not going to preach out of. I'm preaching out of Psalm 100, but I just looked down and I saw that word ascribe. Psalm 96 says, starting in verse 4, "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise," right? He is so worthy of our praise. "He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary." And here's that word, ascribe to the Lord, O families and nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship Him, right? Worship Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth. So worship, that's what I want to talk about this morning. Worshiping God, our Heavenly Father. When you think of worship, I thought of Psalm 100. And this past week, a lot of, I don't know, many of you probably saw in the news the things that happened in the Filizetti family up in Gwynn, the tragic loss of my cousin's niece, or my cousin's daughter. And I started thinking, how do we worship in the midst of even something that tragic? How do we continue to move forward and have these attitudes, which I want to look at? I've titled my sermon, "The Attitudes of Worship." And if we look at Psalm 100, it lays out some attitudes that we're to have when we come into the courts of our Lord. So if you want to turn to Psalm 100, we're going to look at the attitudes of worship and how we, in the midst of all the chaos in the world around us, the trials, the tribulations that we face in our life, how we can maintain these attitudes that the psalmist lays forward for us here. So Psalm 100, starting in verse 1, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time we can come into your courts. Father, that we can come and we can worship you, the majestic, holy God. Father, we pray that as we are here this morning and as we began with prayer and singing praises, that our hearts were prepared to come before you with joy and thanksgiving and praise. Father, I pray that you will continue to reveal yourself to us, Father. Speak to us this morning through your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I was sitting this morning and I had this all prepared, and then I decided, Tara thinks I'm crazy when I do this kind of stuff, that I wanted to preach the end first and the beginning in the end. I'm going to jump back to my notes here because I wanted to start with the attitudes that we are supposed to have in worship. Right? He says here in the beginning, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." Right? Shout for joy. Joy. Have a joyous attitude. It says worship with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Joy. Then he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So what are some of the attitudes we need to come and approach when we worship God? Is we need to have joy. We need to have thankfulness in our hearts. And we need to be lifting our hearts in praise. Right? Attitudes that we enter in to worship with. That word, he says, shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. And we see this repeated over in Psalm 98:4, and that original word signifies a glad shout, to give a loud blast, as like we're blowing the trumpet, right? That's how we are to enter into worship, with this loud, joyous shout, as if we're subjects in the presence of royalty, right? When the king appeared among the people, what did the people do? They shouted, "Long live the king," right? Joyful shouts of adoration. And since we don't see royalty very often in our culture, it would be like shout. You know, you see when people see a celebrity, it's like, "Woo!" Oh, there's, I don't even know who a celebrity would be anymore. Who would be a pop star nowadays that you guys would like, "Ooh"? Wouldn't be Justin Bieber, I know that. But that's what it would be like, right? Shouts of joy and just glee because you are in the presence of that celebrity. And right? That's how we are supposed to be when we walk through those doors on a Sunday morning, giving those shouts of joy, because who are we entering the presence of? We are here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Shout for joy, all the earth. Right? Shout for joy. Sometimes when we come to worship, we sit down and we're, people don't even like to smile. Smile. We're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Shout for joy, all the earth. Come before him with joyful songs. Our shouts then, that gladness and that joy turn to song and music like we sang this morning. Our shouts will turn to music, and music is a form in which we express, right? Music is a form of which we express our gladness, our joy, our praise. Our songs are not to create gladness in us, are they? Watching them come up and lead us in music isn't what makes us happy, right? We're up here singing music and praising God through song because we are joyful and we are glad that we are worshiping our King. Give thanks to him. Give thanks to him. I thought of this morning, count your blessings, right? Name them one by one. Count your blessings. Look, see what the Lord has done. We don't do this enough. We don't do this enough in our lives. Just take a moment as we come in to worship and we are filled with joy and gladness, to take a moment and just sit and think about what the Lord has done in each one of our lives. Look what the Lord has done in us corporately as a body of Christ here, right, in Norway. Look what the Lord has done individually in our lives. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Be thankful. Give thanks to him as we come to worship. So have an attitude of joy. Have an attitude of thanksgiving. And then praise his name. Praise his name. That word praise, you know what that word praise means? It means to kneel. Kneel before the God of all creation with joy and thanksgiving, and lift your hands before him and just say, Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Worthy. Kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning as you are here in his sanctuary to worship. So the attitudes I want you to think about are joy, gladness, thanksgiving, and praise. That those are the attitudes of worship that we need to foster in our lives. But is that always easy? Ask yourself this morning, do you show up here, or maybe you ask yourself, did I show up here this morning with an attitude that was ready, that was prepared to come into the courts of the Lord to worship? Think about it. Getting ready for church on a Sunday morning can be a very stressful endeavor, can it? Especially if you have children. And some wives like, yeah, my husband. Right? I was thinking back to when our kids were little. Micah was probably 3 and Courtney, she would have been, 7 or 6. And we got up, got ready for church. That part went well. But we got in the car to go, and we're driving down Carpenter Avenue, heading for Emmanuel Baptist. And pretty soon, I heard the kids start in the back. Don't touch me. Leave me alone. Blah, blah, blah. Right? They're going, and it's getting louder. And then I can see Tara just, and she's getting mad. She's telling them to be quiet. Stop fighting. And it's just getting, as I'm driving, and I could feel my blood pressure rising. Couldn't take it anymore. I pulled over, turned around to the back seat, Bible in hand, and said, if you two do not knock it off, I am going to come in that back seat and put the fear of God in both of you. Silence. Back, started driving, made a church. Needless to say, I did not enter the courts of our Lord with praise and thanksgiving and joy. I probably don't even remember what in the world happened for the rest of that Sunday. I was so upset, right? Has that ever happened to any of you? Have you ever been here worshiping on a Sunday morning, really not focused on what we are even here for, right? And just think about every day. That's just a comical situation, but think about everyday life, some of the things that could happen. Think about my cousin Wayne and his wife after just losing their 4-year-old daughter. Coming to church the next Sunday, how do they enter? With joy, thanksgiving, and praise. You know, I thought back, and I'm going to tell you the honest truth. This past year has been very hard on me. It was probably the hardest thing I had to do was say, we're not going to Ecuador. And I'm like, Lord, why did it work this way? I thought this is what you wanted us to do. I stepped down from our church. I invested this time and just thought we were following you, doing what you called us to do. Now, here we are. No money, no job, no place really to go. I don't really know who I am. I'm not Pastor Andy anymore. My life was kind of in chaos. And I kept asking myself, how, Lord? Why, Lord? And I didn't have the best of attitudes. I began to become depressed. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to worship. I didn't want to be around people. I don't know how many times I told my wife, I don't want to be around people anymore. I'm done. I can't take this. I don't want to ever... I think I might have even told Amy and Josh this. I don't want to ever stand and preach. I can't take this anymore. Why is this happening? Why did this work this way? I wasn't entering the courts with thanksgiving and praise, with joyful songs on my heart. And I began to think this past week, how do you get past that? And the psalm says very easy. This is what the psalmist says. If you want to have the proper attitudes in worship, this is what you do. You know that the Lord is God. Right? When the world's coming down, with nothing seems to be going the way you thought it was going to go, when you realize you aren't in control and you don't feel like being joyful or glad or thankful or praising, you know what? Know that the Lord is God. Right? That's what we do. They said this morning, this is the light, right? The truth. And if you want to know God, if you want to be joyful and glad and thankful, no matter what's happening in your life, you know the truth that one God is God alone. God is God alone. You might be thinking, well, that's duh, right? We know that God is God alone. It's kind of a no-brainer, but you would be surprised how many people have a skewed view of who God really is, right? People that you can sit next to in church, perhaps, might not have a proper view of who God is. They might know a God, but they don't know the God, the one true God. Deuteronomy says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And Isaiah says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. So who is God? What is God like? Well, God is holy. God is holy. He's perfect. He's set apart from all evil. He's absolute majesty. Right? The psalmist, he says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, right? Joshua said to the people in Joshua 24, he says to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is holy. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. Peter tells us in the New Testament that we are to be holy, for he, God, is holy. We are to be set apart because God is set apart. We need to remember and know that the Lord our God is one. He is the great I am. He is the only one who dwells with us as God. He is our ever-present help in trouble. Worship him with joy, with thanksgiving, and with praise. Not only is he holy, but he's omnipresent. Think about the omnipresence of God. That can either be a very frightening thought for you, but also a very comforting thought. If you look over at Psalm 139, very familiar passage, I'm sure, to all of us, 139, verse 7, he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Isn't that comforting? No matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, God's hand is on you, comforting you. Even if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. God is with us. Worship him with thanksgiving, and praise, and joy. He's sovereign, right? He's a sovereign God. And that's one thing I think during my little time of the wilderness walk, I almost started to forget that God was in control, not me. He's in control. He has all of this in his hand. He is a sovereign God. I think a lot of times we try to fool ourselves that we are in charge, right? God is holy and always present and sovereign and controlled, but he's wise. The book of Daniel tells us that God is the giver of wisdom. He gives wisdom to the wise. Who can know the mind of God? Remember, Job was trying to figure God's mind out, and God says, well, who are you, Job? Right? Romans says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? You know, we don't always have to know the why or the reason behind the things that happen, do we? We don't have to. God doesn't have to reveal that to us. We don't have to know why. He just says, when I move, you move, right? And when I stop, you stop. Trust me. I'm in control. Comforting. Remember, know that the Lord is God. Worship him. Is he holy and sovereign? Powerful. Think of creation. Just think of creation, the act of creation itself, where God said, let there be, and there was. Out of nothing. Power. Look at the beauty and just the diversity of everything around us. And God created all that with a word. Worship him with joy, thanksgiving. Bow before him. Kneel before him and praise him because of who he is. He is God. Oh, think of creation also, not just the things we see, but look at yourself. You are a unique part of God's creation. He formed you from the dust of the earth. He breathed the very life, his spirit, into you. We can have an intimate relationship with God. That makes you unique and special. So what is then, not only were we created uniquely, but God created each one of us with a purpose, with a plan. He created individual works for us to do. We don't always know what those are, do we? But we trust Him. We follow Him. He reveals things to us through His Holy Spirit. He has a plan and a purpose for you. No matter what's going on in your life, how tragic it might seem, God still has a plan for you. I say we've now moved up to Gwyn to be near to our family, and somebody told us the other day, I think it was the day before the funeral for little Amara, they said, "Do you think God might have brought you back here for a reason?" I haven't talked to that side of the family 15 years. But to be able to be there for them and have them be able to grieve with us was something special. But maybe that was part of the plan, right? God has a purpose because He is our Creator and He's our owner. He can do with us what He pleases. We belong to Him. We are His people. It says in Exodus, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession." He's speaking to Israel. They were God's chosen people to be the light to the world, to show the world who God was. And we are the same way. It says in 1 Peter, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. He has a purpose for you. Your purpose is to worship Him. Your purpose is to praise Him. Your purpose is to serve Him. Your purpose is to herald the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world so that all may know that He is God. Worship Him. Worship Him. He is also our provider. It says that we are the sheep of His pasture. I love the shepherd and sheep picture in my mind. Because, right, sheep really aren't the most intelligent things. They kind of find themselves wandering away and getting themselves into trouble, kind of like we always do, right? We're no different than that. We're always wandering away, taking our eyes off of our shepherd and going and do our own little thing. And before you know it, we find ourselves in hot water, right? But Christ, God is our shepherd. And Psalm 23, beautiful, right? The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. He is our provider. He cares for us. He keeps us safe. He is our provider. Worship Him. Daily remind ourselves that God is our shepherd, our protector, and our provider. And as we focus on His provision, we are also reminded of His goodness. When I think of, it says, "For the Lord is good." When I think of God's goodness, I think of prayer. I think of His answered prayer. And I'm sure all of us could stand here this morning and come up and share numerous amounts of answers that God has given you to prayer. And it's through those answered prayer that God reveals His goodness to us. I just, look at Abraham and Sarah praying for a son, Hannah praying for a son, and God just blessing them. I think of the blessings of God and in His goodness. I remember a time when Micah was just a little baby. He was little baby, 3 months old, and Tara was, she'd feed him, and every time he would eat, he'd throw up. It would everywhere. And we watched him over a short period of time go from a little chubby baby to just a little rack of skin and bones. Grandma and Grandpa know this story because they were there. So she kept bringing him to the emergency room. They kept saying, there's nothing wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with him. Okay, it must be, she's like, you're just an over-worried mother. So she'd come home and she'd feed him and he'd bleh all over the place and he'd get skinnier and skinnier. Finally, she brought him back and she says, I am not an over-worried mother. There is something wrong with my child. So they finally listened and did some x-rays and found out that he had pyloric stenosis. There's that little valve that goes between your stomach and your esophagus. Thank you. The tube, I was going to say. But it wouldn't open properly. So he would eat, and it would all just build up. And eventually, it couldn't build up anymore, so it would go out. So the only thing they said they could do was give him surgery. Well, that was freaky to us as new parents. He's like this big, and they had him all plugged with little IVs, and he just looked miserable in that bed. So they scheduled the surgery for the next day, and they spent the night, and that next day it was me and Tara, Doug and Linda, all gathered around Micah's little crib there, and we're like, we're just going to pray for God's healing on this. And so we sat, and we laid our hands on Micah, and we prayed over Micah. And the doctor came in to get Micah to go to the surgery. He's like, I'm just going to have one more x-ray done just to double check, make sure I know exactly what I'm dealing with. So they wheel little Micah away. About a half hour later, they came back with the doctor, and he's going, I don't know. He said, there's nothing there. Everything looks fine. The valve's working fine. He doesn't need surgery. Wow. God is good. You want a reason to worship God with joy and gladness and thanksgiving and praise? Think about the goodness of God. God is not only good, but he is merciful, right? His love endures forever. Just think of his love for you. Well, you point to one thing, and his name is Jesus, right? His love endures forever. You can just think how many times we up and down and fall. I think of Judges with Israel. They'd screw up. They'd cry out. God would deliver them. They'd screw up. They'd cry out. God would deliver them. God is so long-suffering and patient and kind, and his mercy endures, right, forever. He is faithful. He answers. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. Our God is an unchanging God, a God who cannot lie, God who does not swerve from left to right. He is straight ahead. When God says it, it is true, and it will happen. You know, think of when God promised way back in the garden, Adam and Eve, promised them a redeemer. God is faithful. He sent us Jesus Christ. He sent us Jesus. Worship him. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Let us enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. So next time when we're on our way here to worship, or you're even at home and you're opening up his word and your mind is not right and you're doubting or you're struggling, take a moment, as the psalmist said, to know that the Lord is God. Flip through scripture and meditate on who God is. His character, what he has done. And if you can come then before the Lord without being joyful and thankful and praising him, it's impossible. When you truly know that the Lord is God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you have opened a way for us to come into your courts to worship you, a holy God. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you have redeemed us. Father, we thank you that you are a holy, loving, omnipotent, immutable, omnipresent, and the list could go on and on to describe who you are. You, in one word, are majestic. And we just thank you that we can worship you this morning. And I pray that you will continue to cultivate in our hearts this attitude of joy and thanksgiving
and praise. In Jesus' name we pray.